Afi Soul, Lucy Murphy, Nana Malaya, and the Malcolm X dancers and drummers, Free Benjamin, Randy Payton, and Laini Mataka. May 17th, Landsberg Park, 1098 Delaware Avenue Southwest, 11 a.m.
Hi, I'm Dr. Nick, and you are tuned to member-supported WPFW Washington.
Good evening. It's just about 6 p.m. in the nation's capital. The name of the show is News Views. My name's Garland Nixon. I'm on Fridays from 6 to 7, causing all kind of mayhem and controversy. And don't look for me to stop this week. Don't look for me to stop doing it now. A couple of things before we get started. As you know, I love to take calls. The number is 202-588-0893. That's 202-588-0893. We get lots of calls, and I really enjoy people calling, and feel free to disagree with me. You know, I am a person, so people ask me, you know, you're a political analyst, geopolitical analyst. I see the politics through the lens of international politics rather than simply, you know, local politics, or that's, I put it like this. I study politics through the lens of geopolitical politics, of international politics, international players, international powers, as opposed to, you know, just whoever the local, you know, oh, it's the Democrats versus the Republicans kind of stuff. I see the industrial capitalists versus the finance capitalists, things like that, right? And the international players. So 202-588-0893. We got open lines. Let me start. And I guess, I don't know, you know, I'm always making enemies and hurting people's feelings or something like that. So why should I stop now? Why should I stop? I got it. It's just been, something's been in my craw. Something's been eating me, a burr under my saddle all week long. And so help me. I guess if you're going to get thrown off the, I always say this, you know, what hill are you going to die on? If you're going to get thrown off the radio, you got to get thrown off for telling the truth. So here's the deal. Burkina Faso, outstanding, a beautiful country in Africa, a country that it was a part of what was considered Francophone Africa, being French, right? It was a French colonial Africa where basically the French people stole all of their money and kept them poor, right? They got like yellow cape uranium for like $2 an ounce and sold it for like, or a pound, whatever it was, sold it for 200, right? Took their gold, took everything they had. You had the French who were using the uranium out of Burkina Faso to power their nuclear power plants, and like 70% of the people in Burkina Faso don't have no electricity. Abused and used, right? We've got a couple callers. Good, we got one caller. Give me about 5 minutes, callers, and I'll start taking them. Hold on, make sure you keep the phone by your ear. Give me about 5 minutes to get this out of the way and then we'll get rolling. So here's the deal. So they get a new leader, a guy by the name of Ibrahim Traore. Ibrahim Traore now, he's like 35, 36 years old. One of the most dynamic African leaders in decades, beloved African leaders, proud African leader, man who stood up and said, look, we're not poor. Why are we going around the world begging for stuff? We got everything we need. Threw the French out. Oh, man, this guy's the greatest thing since Thomas Sankara, right? Beloved leader standing up for his African country. I'm proud. You should be proud if you're black, white, green, gray, or grizzly that a man stands up. Well, before I go to the callers, let me say something. Before Joe Biden left, he put a man, a black man by the name of General Langley, in charge of AFRICOM. What is AFRICOM? It's Africa Command. What is Africa Command? It's the United States has bases all over Africa that we use to oppress the black folks, to overthrow their countries, to steal their stuff, and gently oppress them. And what did they do? They did what they did back in slavery time. They did what they always do. Well, gee, it'd be a problem if we got a white guy in charge. I know, we'll get a black man. So they put Langley in charge. And you know, right off the bat, what I thought, old Tom. I know old Tom when I see him. People can get mad. I don't care what they say. I heard black folks, wow, isn't this great? We've got the first black general. I said, you got old Tom. You know old Tom when you see him. So what does old Tom do? He goes to the Senate the other day. Now, keep in mind, in the Senate, it's 95 white folks and 5 black folks. Old Tom goes to the Senate. May I be struck with lightning right now if I'm lying. He goes to the Senate, and guess what he says? Yes, this Abraham, now I'm paraphrasing, this Ibrahim Traore, a man who they have people in the streets celebrating him, beloved all over the country of Africa, all over the world, a great African leader. Oh, Tom goes into the Senate. Well, this guy's got a problem. He's selling the gold and he's using the money not for his people, but for his own security. And I'm thinking, well, I guess so. You trying to kill him, old Tom? He better spend some money on security. It was the most disgraceful, disgusting show I've ever seen in my life. Well, I've seen them, but usually it's on Roots or Django Unchained, Steven or somebody. When I see somebody Tomming like that, he might as well. I thought when he was walking in the Senate, I thought I heard some clicks from those taps on his shoes because he had to be dancing. They're going to send a black man in the Senate. See, let me be honest. They had to put a black man in charge of AFRICOM because they couldn't get away with a white guy coming into the Senate saying, hey, those Negroes sure got a lot of gold. I think we need to steal it. No, right off the bat, people would say, hey, wait a minute. That's a black guy. He's a beloved leader in charge of his own country. He threw the French out. Now you want to steal his gold? Hey, I think that's racism. So instead, you know the game. Black folks that are listening know right now the game. They said, well, what are we going to do? And old Joe Biden said, I got a plan. Call old Tom. He'll come in here and do it. Old Tom came in. Hey, you know what we need you to do, Tom? We need you to go to the Senate and tell all the white people there's a Negro over there and he's got too much gold and he don't know what to do with it. So we need to take it. And what did he do? He shuffles and huckabucks on into the Senate and humiliated himself, humiliated his community, and humiliated his family, humiliated everything that black folks have done since 1619 by going into the Senate saying, this new dynamic black beloved African leader got too much gold. And Maza done told me to come in here. We got to get that gold. My Maza done told me to get that gold. I could have threw up. But now I got to hurt some more feelings. I'm sorry. Before I got to go to the phones, I guess this is my last show because I got to tell the truth. Am I mistaken or do we have five black senators? And one of them's from Maryland. We got five black senators. Now, I couldn't be a black senator. They wouldn't have let Garland. You know why? Because if Garland was sitting in the Senate and they said, hey, here's old Tom. And Tom said, yeah, my Maza said that African leader got too much gold. We fitting to go take that gold. Garland would stick his hand up in the back and say, hey, bro, look here. You're wrong. What are we doing here? We can't take the man's gold. How you think you got here, brother? You came over here on a boat, and trust me when I tell you this, it wasn't the Norwegian princess. The same people who brought you here in a boat got you here. Now they want to steal this brother's gold and oppress the black people of Burkina Faso, and here you up in here shuffling around, humiliating everybody, including me. Get out. See, that's why I couldn't be a senator, because that's what I'd have said. But for some reason, none of the black senators in there, not one of them, looked up and said, hey, there's old Tom. I think we better say something. And don't tell me they don't know who old Tom. Every black person knows old Tom when they see him. Old Tom comes in a lot of various different kind of iterations. But we all know, I put it like this. If I'm sitting in a room and a member of the KKK walks in and he's got on a white pointy hat and a rope in his hand and I look at him, I'm like, I know who he is. I'm like, hey, what's up, bro? And the KKK member's going, hey, there, N-word. Hey, have a nice day. I'm good. I know who the KKK member is. I feel fairly comfortable. Hard for him to get away with hanging me in this day and age. Boy, but when I see old Tom, I know I'm in trouble because they're devious, they're diabolical, and they are standing for somebody behind them who wants to cut my throat, but they're going to smile in my face. He's not going to have on the white hood, but the man behind him is going to have on the white hood. And that's why General Langley, I have to say, I wish I could tell him to his face, he's a disgrace to his race and a traitor to every person in Africa. And if you are a senator and you're black and you sat in that room and you listen to old Uncle Tom come in there and say, we got to steal the gold and the uranium and all this from the most dynamic, respected black African leader in decades, I don't even want to finish that because I would hurt some feelings. But you know where I'm going. And let me just say this. I know there are people right now putting their head down. Ooh, no, do you believe he said that? Somebody has to say it. It could be my last show. They could say, well, Garland, you know, you've offended the wrong people. You got to go. Good. If I'm going to get thrown off the air, I should get thrown off the air. This is the hill I want to die on. If I'm going to get thrown off the air, you know what it's going to be? It's going to be pointing to old Tom. That's what it's going to be. It's going to be saying, hey, there's old Tom over there. Better get him out of the way. He's trying to do away with the most dynamic, respected African leader that we've had in decades. Well, I'm standing up for Ibrahim Traore, and every other Black person should, and y'all should look at it. Let me add one last, can I add one last thing before we go to the phones? 202-588-0893. One last thing. The man comes in there to do this, and he felt that he could get away with it. And he was right, because he knew that there was five Black senators, but he knew one of them, none of them was going to say a mumbling word. You know why? Because if they said anything, they wouldn't be Black senators long. When the next time around, AIPAC, whoever, whatever rich folks that wanted the gold, the uranium out of Burkina, they would be gone. And they would rather sit in there and collect their paycheck and get their power and be a Black senator and go along with the oppression of Black folks in Africa. I can't do it. Can't do it. Sorry. 202-588-0893. Open blinds. We got plenty to talk about. As you could tell, I was a bit angry, a bit perturbed, but I had to say what I had to say. First caller, you're on the air. What's your name? Where you calling from?
Robert Moses, calling from Fort Washington, Maryland.
Brother Robert Moses, talk to me, my man.
I appreciate your analysis. I really do. I think, you know, it's good that we have some clarity on what's going on in the world, and especially in Burkina Faso and the Sahel countries and stuff. So I really, really do appreciate that. We need light. Only light can dispense this darkness that they're trying to put on us. And so I appreciate your vigilance and your dedication to the struggle. I believe that basically that Jesus is the answer for the world today, that he cursed the fig tree. He was against the resurrection of Israel. And you should honor your mother and your father by getting married before having children. And if we could just put those two things in our lives, I think it would make a big difference in terms of political economy and how the world develops.
Well, thank you very much. I certainly appreciate it. 202-588-0893. We got open lines. Next caller, you're on the air. What's your name? Where you're calling from?
Well, now that you've let me talk, this is Rick calling you long distance from Germany.
Great to talk to you, Rick. What's happening, my friend?
I got four quick points. Stepping behind a brother that just called, you know, we love Frances Cress Welsing when she's waving her finger at white folks and talking about their fear of genetic annihilation. But when Frances Cress Welsing asks us not to throw trash in our own neighborhoods and to clean up our own neighborhoods, or, as the brother said, not to have children out of wedlock without being spiritually and financially able to take care of them, we fade away from her. We dismiss that, and we ask her to go back to talking about white folks. That's one point. My second point is I would like to talk about two films, documentaries, that I think would be good for your audience. And one is They're Trying to Kill Us. It starts out talking about gun violence, but it moves into what it means to have a poor diet there in America. The second documentary is Kiss the Ground, and it is narrated by Woody Harrelson, who is something of a conspiracy theorist, I think, and but he does a good job of exposing agribusiness, not only in ruining the land there in America, but also the land around the world with pesticides. And he exposes how the Nazis moved from Europe into America in terms of agribusiness. Third, I don't remember what my third point was.
Well, your first two are very important. I will tell you, the first two are very important, particularly diet. You know, for all we talk about all the various things, you know, people take all these medications, so many medications, and what people don't realize is two things. Diet and exercise, that a lot of people, if they ate healthy, fresh juices, vegetables, nuts, fruits, there are a lot of people who are on all kinds of medications for this and that. If they could change their diet and eat fresh vegetables, the old saying is, if you eat something that has one ingredient. Right? You know, a tomato's got one ingredient. That's what you want to do. Stay away from that processed food. Stay away from those sugary drinks. A lot of people don't realize they could change their lives and live a lot longer and have a much better quality of life if they would change their diet. So you're on the money. That was number one, and that's maybe the most important one, isn't it, Brother Rick?
I think so. I just remembered what my third point,
go ahead,
or fourth point was. You said that the general who came in to talk to the Senate was speaking against a black man in Africa.
Yep.
What country is this black man from, and what is his name?
His name is Ibrahim Traore. He's 35 or 36. He's the leader of Burkina Faso. Let's not forget, Burkina Faso was led by a very, very powerful, beloved leader who was turning the country around. His name was Thomas Sankara. I know his brother, Paul, who lives in the D.C. area. Thomas Sankara was kidnapped and killed and overthrown by the United States and Britain and a couple of other intelligence countries. So this guy, so his country was in horror and pain and all that because we overthrew the government in the past. And now they've been having these gigantic rallies with hundreds of thousands of people in the street now to support him after old General Michael Langley had the nerve to go to Congress and say, yes, they're not using their gold reserves to benefit the people. Imagine that. Somebody from the United States saying to another country, you're not using the money in your country to benefit the people. Boy, it's not like we spend all of our money on war and everything else but the people.
Okay, I would ask, oh man, I'm so.
Well, I understand, Rick. I'll just say this. Think about the last thing to think about. What business does an American have going to the middle of Africa, the Sahel region, looking at a country there all the way, 5,000 miles away, and telling those people what to spend their money on when they've been robbed by the colonial powers for the last 300 years? And now we're going to go over there and pretend like we're looking out for them. And of course, we got to use a black man to go to do. It's sickening to me, Rick. You get the last word.
Last word is take care of your health. Respect your family as best you can within reason, and get involved in politics before it's too late.
Thank you very much. All right. You're a great caller. Appreciate you. Oh, Rick's been a part of, my man Rick has been a part of the show for a long time. Next caller, you're on the air. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
Yeah, Mike from D.C., brother.
Mike, did you hear? Are you familiar with that business about this man going to Congress? They sent a black man to go to Congress to talk about, oh, yeah, that African leader don't know what to do with his gold. I guess we better go steal it from him, huh, Mike?
Well, Garland, you can tell until you blew in the face. We know that these black leaders are nothing but puppets, and they're nothing but figureheads for the big corporation that owns both of those parties. So you know what that is. So nothing that you said surprised me or what that black general is doing. Like you said, the brother from Africa said, well, wait a minute now. Why do we keep begging for all of this help? And we got all these gold resources, oil resources. Africa got one of the most, all the resources in the world come from Africa. And
how about this? Mike, I got to read something. Mike, I got to read something to you to show you the Africans know what time it is, right? And I got to get your comment on this. It's what me and you say, the Africans know what time it is. Let me read this. Crowds of protesters gathered at the Place de Revolution in Ouagadougou, that's Burkina Faso, chanting, "Long live Captain Traore," with some holding banners showing a photo of General Langley with the word "slave" written on his head with a red marker. Others waved Burkina Faso and Russia's flags, a close ally of the West African nation. A musician who came to the protest said he is not surprised at the accusations launched by Langley. Quote, "Because Colin Powell lied, Iraq was destroyed. Barack Obama lied, Gaddafi was destroyed. But this time their lies won't affect us. That's why we tell them we're not against them, but we're against predation and slavery." See, the Africans know what time it is. The black folks here is brainwashed. Go ahead, Mike.
The black folks are brainwashed because they worship a party. This is what helped me stop worshiping a party was because of Barack Obama. I voted for him because I never thought I would ever see a black man ever become president. Well, first black recognized president, because we had him before. But anyway, that's a story for another day. But anyway, when you worship a party or an elected official, or especially a black elected official that's supposed to represent, that's supposed to be helping out people also, they're only going to do what is told by the wealthy elite. They're going to be told to do what their white masters tell them to do. Now, I'm glad those brothers in Africa are starting to wake up. When are the brothers and sisters in this country is going to wake up toward the fake black leaders that we have right now? I can't stand these fake black leaders that we have in this country right now that is watching gentrification, kicking out their own people from the neighborhoods that they grow up in. You got West Boy. I'm still pissed off with him that he got no problem seeing a 78-year-old grandmother getting ready to be evicted, in other situations that's going on that people face every day. The problem is that we keep on worshiping a party. If an elected official is not doing their job, you kick them out of office until you get the one that's going to do the job. You can tell when you got an elected official that cares about the community because they don't give you referrals. Anytime when you call an elected office, they constantly give you a referral, get another elected official. Now, I'm so used to Marion Barry, when he passed on, I cried. Because Barry was like that. You call this office, you'll get a referral.
Mike? That's why the system went after him. That's why the system set Marion Barry up, took him out, put him in jail, criticized him internationally. Why? Because he actually stood up for black folks. I'm not saying he's perfect, but I bet you this, he wasn't on the Epstein list.
And the black ones in the city helped him do it.
Yeah, they put him in jail, claimed that he did this and that.
The black elected officials helped him.
Exactly, but he wasn't on the Epstein list.
Meanwhile, those Uncle Tom black leaders, those Uncle Tom black elites. Now, this whole idea with these black elites, I'm starting to lose more and more respect for them every single day. They go on public radio and they start preaching that we should be helping each other. But then when you put them to task, when you get them to practice what they preach, they always fall out short because they ain't going to do a damn thing unless white people give them permission to do so. Let's be real about this. The fear of that they have is what white people would do to them if they help out their own people. And the people, the brothers and sisters out in Africa, they ain't putting up with that nonsense. But because the blacks in this country still believe in worshiping a damn party, worshiping a damn elected official, we're never going to get anywhere as black people in this country until we put our foot down and say enough is enough. We're not going to worship no party no more. We're not going to worship no elected official no more. If you can't do something for us, we're going to get you out of that office and put somebody in there that's going to do the job done. And tell the black people all over this country, like the brothers and sisters do in Africa, get rid of mental slavery. That's the problem.
I'll read one other thing. Siko Ansamarian Dukali, one of the protesters, said he came to Burkina Faso all the way from Liberia. The capital city is Ouagadougou. He says, "I came to Ouagadougou today to participate in this demonstration in support of Captain Ibrahim Traore." So you got people from all over Africa, not just Burkina Faso, coming to the capital, traveling. They ain't got no lot of money, but they're traveling there because he represents something. Here's what he says. "He represents hope for Africa, hope for black people, hope for all freedom fighters around the globe," he said. Right? But guess what?
He ain't got no hope here. He ain't got no hope in the Senate because old Tom is shuffling in there with his general suit on to say, take him. And not one so-called black senator is standing there saying anything, doing anything. They're always ready to tell us they're the first black this or that. But
do you think they're going to give up their livelihood? No. No black leader is going to give up their livelihood for black people. They're living a lifestyle of the rich and the famous off the taxpayers' dollar. They are not going to sacrifice their lifestyle or going back to being hated by white people, being treated like garbage and being treated like trash. They give them a little bit of bone and they feel like they're better than the black people they're going to serve. You can talk to the blue in your face, Garland. They will not turn on those white people that put them in office. I don't care what you say. That is up to the black community to say enough is enough of this nonsense. If you're not going to do your job, we're going to kick your ass out of office. Then we're going to put somebody else in there. They don't do it. We're going to kick them out of the office until we finally get somebody in there that's going to do the right thing for our people. It's never going to happen until the black community get rid of middle slavery. And I'm getting too pissed off right now. I got to get off.
All right, Mike. Yeah, Mike is an angry man. The number is 202-588-0893. That's something that burnt me up. But here's what I'm saying. I'm not just... because I'm a person and I'm not just going to say they're standing for the white people. They're standing for power. They're standing for international financial capital. They're standing for the owners and controllers of global financial capital. That's who Mike is in there. Captain Langley is in there for. Captain Langley is in there for the people who want to get their hands on that gold and so they can get on the market, so they can speculate, so they can trade. And all they said is Captain Langley is go in there and tell everybody why we need to overthrow that country because they got a lot of good resources. And as far as those senators that are sitting there, I can't respect them because they're supposed to say, you got elected to say, no, no, no. You know what? I'm a black person. Those are African people. And somebody's coming in here in front of the Senate saying, look, you know what? I want to steal the gold from African people that finally got in control of their self and the cat got their tongue. I could. That's why I can't get elected. That's why I ain't running, because I wouldn't let. They probably rub me out. I'd probably say that they drag me out and censor me and throw me out the Senate the first day, because so help me, I would say it or I would spontaneously go up in flames. Next caller, you're on the air. 202-588-0893. Next caller, you're on the air. What's your name? Where you calling from?
What's going on, Garland? It's Max calling from Maryland.
Talk to me, Max.
Man, so what's I'm actually not up to current events on the situation with Africa. What's going on?
Well, Burkina Faso is a country that has been, in a nutshell, for you know, the last century or two, it's a French ran, they call it Francophone Africa. A number of countries in Africa, such as Mali. Mali has like 500 gold mines. They got no gold because it all goes to France. These countries in the so-called Francophone Africa, 90-some percent of the money that came into that country would go to France, and France allegedly held their money for them, but they never got any of it back. So, I don't know, maybe a year or so ago, a couple of these countries overthrew the French puppet governments, threw them out and said, we're going to run the country for ourselves. One of the men was Ibrahim Traore. He is extremely popular in his country. He's building roads. He's building a power plant. Most of the country doesn't have any power. He's actually selling the gold and stuff himself. And now he's saying these things that are mined in our country, he's nationalizing the mines, saying these are our mines. We're going to sell it. We're going to take that money and build up our country. So needless to say, the people in Burkina Faso are very happy. And they're like, for the first time, you know, we're going to get electricity and roads and all this stuff. We'll get to keep our own money. Well, you know, that don't go so over so well with the U.S. government. So the head of AFRICOM comes to the Senate yesterday saying this guy, I mean, last week saying, yes, the leader of this country, he's not using the money for the right thing. He's using it for himself. Therefore, he needs to go. So the U.S. is now saying one of the most popular leaders this country has ever had, a man is revitalizing the country, a man who is the most popular leader in all of Africa, hands down, right now. And the U.S.'s government is saying he needs to be overthrown. And might I add, there was a coup attempt last week. I wonder who was behind that. That's the issue I got. And if you know the history of the United States overthrowing governments and stealing the stuff of the people in the country, it's something that the United States has done quite frequently over the course of time. Anyway, your thoughts, Max?
No, wow. I mean, that seems pretty direct. Now, I actually, that was just a quick question because I want to know what you and him were talking about, because I could really feel the intensity there. But I guess so. Yeah, no. Based on everything you're saying, and I do trust you on that. That sounds pretty bad. To move on, I guess what I would ask you is what's your take on the current U.S. economy? The economic data just came out, negative 0.3% growth. Do you think by the end of summer, after the second quarter, do you think they will declare us in a recession? Like, do you think we're going?
Well, I'll put it like this. It doesn't matter whether they declare us in a recession or not. You know what I mean? It's like I used to be in law enforcement, right? And let's say there was a car accident or a drowning and the person was dead, right? And at some point, the medical examiner would have to come in and they would have to declare them dead, right? They were dead. Mm-hmm. Even if they didn't get there to declare them dead, I could pretty much see that they were dead. You know what I mean? Ask any fireman, they come to the scene of accident, whatever, drowning, whatever. And you're waiting for the declaration, but you don't need the declaration. Reality asserts itself. So the bottom line is, our economy is shot. I think people will be surprised when they see when they start feeling the pain that we're going to feel from this stupid, this so-called tariff stuff. It's absurdity. Absolute absurdities, and our economy would be wrecked. I think our economy, but here's the bottom line. Let me give you three quick things and I'll let you talk. Number one, with $37 trillion in debt. Number two, now think about this. If you add up all the debt, the states and the federal government and all that, it comes to between $150 and $170 trillion. That's the debt in the United States. Right now, in circulation, there's between $5 and $7 trillion in circulation in the U.S. with $150 to $170 trillion in debt. That don't add up. That's going to crash. And what we're getting now is the quickest crash we can possibly get, because we can't. We economically launched an economic war against China. Bad move. We're going to lose that one bad. Anyway, go ahead.
Yeah, no, I know. I agree. We totally are. Do you think, though, then, like, just because, like, don't get me wrong, like, I do, like, I'm not, I choose the Democrats over the Republicans, even though, like, I like your ability to be very critical of them, because it kind of allows me to even look into things and find where I can be more critical as well. But do you think, though, that this administration, these donors that are backing this idea, you know, with the tariffs, this comes from the Project 2025 playbook, actually, and, you think that this is a part of, like, manufacturing an actual, like, because I'm not just talking about, like, negative GDP. Like, I'm talking, like, we'll be at the point where unemployment will be back to, like, Great Recession COVID levels of, like, 10%, 15% unemployment. Do you think, like, this is by design? Like, do you think Trump and his administration, the likes of Miller, the likes of Vance, you know, the chief of staff, you know, like the Howard Lutnick, a billionaire who's the commerce secretary, he donated a lot of money to Trump's campaign. Do you think this is a manufactured, like, crisis? And I'll even say this, 08 was probably manufactured as well. But do you think, like, this, we can truly now see with two open eyes that, like, this is a manufactured recession coming from, like, the federal government?
You could make that argument. Here's the way I would put it. And I would advise people to go to YouTube. There's two people you can listen to. Michael Hudson is really good. Michael Hudson is a brilliant economist who I know. Another guy's named Professor Richard Wolff, and listen to them talk about this thing. So here's where we are. We're up to our ears in debt. Things aren't going to work out. And a lot of it is coming due at the end of this year. So basically, for the last 4 years, as our debt continued to accumulate and things went bad, the Biden administration elected to just pump more money in and keep a dead victim alive. Okay. The Trump team comes in, and for a number of reasons, which would take me a while, they decide they're going to do a Hail Mary pass. I know we're going to do this tariffs, and these tariffs are going to bring in all of this money, and then we'll use the money and we'll get rid of it. And because the main thing that Trump wants is his tax cuts die at the end of this year, and he wants to keep them. His tax cuts, which, you know, tax cuts always go to the rich. So he's trying a way to keep those tax cuts because he knows that our debt is going crazy and it's going to be hard to keep his tax cuts. So he does this Hail Mary. Well, it's a real stupid Hail Mary, and it ain't going to work, and it's just going to make things worse. It was just a Hail Mary pass, but it was a boneheaded one, and I think we're going to suffer greatly. And this is the beginning of the end for an empire that was on life support as it was. That's my opinion. But yeah, it's absolutely boneheaded. It is absurd by ideologues who believe that they're going by like the things that happened, the way they did it in 1900 with tariffs, when the entire world's economy was different. It is absurd to think this would work.
Yeah. Well, I do agree with you that it is going to come to a crash. And I do agree that tax cuts will only accelerate the debt even more. I think some of the government agencies they'll get rid of will also probably actually, as much as they think they'll cut, it'll probably increase as well. I appreciate you for having the show, Garland. I'm busy right now, but I appreciate you, and I'll be back to talk again in the weeks to come.
Thank you, Max. 202-588-0893. 202-588-0893. Next call, you're on air. What's your name? Yeah. Where are you calling from?
Well, I do agree with you that it is going to come to a crash.
Oh, that's where. Oh, somebody has set their phone down. Hey, everybody, make sure you don't set your phone down. Make sure if you're on hold that you hold the phone next to your ear, because we have a 10-second delay. And if you're listening to the radio, you won't hear me for 10 seconds when I call you. So next call, you're on air. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
Hey, Garland, how you doing, man? This is Brother Marvin from Fort Washington. How you doing? How you been?
Wonderful, brother from Fort Washington. I used to go down to Fort Washington Marina and hang out every now and then. What's happening?
Oh, man. I used to go down there, too, man. They had a lot of nice parties down there.
Oh, yes.
On the boats here. You know, Garland, it's just so many things, man. But first and foremost, man, we all got to take care of ourselves better. And it's a Black-owned Amanda Stevenson's fresh food factory up here in Southeast. Man, she's doing great work for the last 5 years, giving our people better food choices, healthier food choices. She has aquaponics classes, training, farming. She's teaching our people sustainable living. And we got to support people like her because health is your wealth, man. This is the most expensive healthcare system in the world, and it ranks what, about 37th, 40th. It's the most costly healthcare system in the world. Yeah.
You know another thing that's interesting. You know another thing that's interesting, and that's this: Chinese healthcare, Indian healthcare. Right? You go to India, China. They do a combination of, yes, they do medication, but they do preventative stuff such as diet and herbs and various things like that. Right? So it's a natural healthcare along with, you know, medication where it's needed. If people go on YouTube, you can do that and look for people that live the longest anywhere in the world. You know what you'll find? You'll find it has to do with the diet. You'll find that they're drinking lots of, things like fresh fruit juices. And I don't mean the ones that come in a bottle. I mean, you make yourself. They're juicing vegetables. They're eating raw nuts.
Everybody have a juice machine, man. Even the research even the resources that we have on PFW, like Dr. Watkins and Dr. Baruch, teaching our people wellness, man. I mean, you can get your blood pressure under control in no time. I mean, if we just give up some of the bad things that have been causing us illness for a long time. I tell my sister, you can start anywhere right now. Okay, start juicing, exercising, supplementation. Replace something bad with something good. Okay, I want to talk about the mainstream media. They're always talking about unemployment this, unemployment that. They never give statistics on unemployment in the Black community. Okay, mm-hmm. If you look at D.C. the economic disparities in D.C., the average Black family makes, what, $45,000 a year, opposed mm-hmm. to the average white family that makes $128,000-$129,000 a year. But if you look at other cities who are more impoverished, like Cleveland, like Ohio, Mississippi, mm-hmm. Memphis, Tennessee, unemployment rate is almost 50% because mm-hmm. and crime is one of the worst in Detroit. Memphis and Cleveland and a lot of these, you know, when they come up with these statistics, we have always had double-digit unemployment rate in the black community for a long time.
Yeah, well, black folks have been in a depression since 1619, if you really want the truth. You know, the interesting thing is America will never come to face the reality of what has happened to black America. You know what I mean? Black folks was enslaved. And then when they came out of slavery, they were put in a system of oppression and apartheid. They lived in apartheid. Finally, when they said, okay, black people can go to some white schools. But even then, I mean, that's what you get. So black folks was born into poverty, misery, immiseration, kept low. And now white Americans just looks at black folks and says, well, how come y'all don't have the same amount as we do? How come y'all aren't living just as well? Why have so many black? It must be your own fault.
No God,
when did
man.
Black did people ever get a chance to catch up? They never even got a chance to catch up. It's like tying somebody's legs and arms together. You take off on a race, you run around the track four times, and then untie them halfway and say, how come you're so far behind? And that's what black folks fast. Go ahead.
And you know, Garland, I'm going to make one or two more points real quick. You know, this country is in debt because of the military-industrial complex and the prison-industrial complex. You know, it costs more to incarcerate somebody than educate them. Okay.
$100,000 a year. That's what it costs. $100,000 a year. We could send you to Harvard. Well, I don't know about Harvard. We could send you to any most college you want to go to cheaper. But guess what? Now, you know what they got? They got for-profit prisons. So they're making money off sending you to jail.
And we have over 100 immigrational facilities in this country, okay? You know, and, you know, we got to organize. We have to, I mean, social media is so effective if we just use it properly, not for entertainment, not for entertaining
twerking,
each other.
For twerking, right? That's what it's used for, to show some the young girl shaking her behind. That's all we want to use it for.
Right, we got to organize, man. We got to organize. There's a lot of different groups out here and organizations that we can organize. And we got to stop spending foolishly. Divest Walmart.
Yeah. All right, well, thank you very much. Certainly appreciate it. Looks like the tariffs are going to take care of that for us. Ain't going to be nothing on the shelves to buy. Of course, we probably won't have a job to buy it anyway. 202-588-0893. Next caller, you are on air. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
Oh, I'm Jesse Jenkins.
Jesse Jenkins, what's happening?
I'm in Bowie, Mitchellville here. My thought is this. Okay, it's about the language. It's about the language. So if you had, and I have an organization that's pushing African-infused education, okay, and when I do that, I'm sorry, I'm looking for the mute button here as I do this.
Well, I can hear you. You're the good and loud.
All right. Okay. But African-infused education. This move of defunding education is a help to pushing us back to basically segregated schools. Now, we had some of the best educations ever when we were in segregated schools. But the African language should be in the education. So I'm proposing tutoring support for whatever, you know, level of schooling they're at, and adding that African awareness and an African language. Because us black Americans really need to know that we're just cousins of the ones that weren't pulled on the boat. And so we are one group. So I have a group. It's positivelearningsuccess.com. And if they go to that and just, you know, want more information, we can do that. It's a nonprofit, so it's, you know, tax deductible. But the idea is that wherever you can get groups of students, 10, 12 groups of students, I'm looking at retired teachers who won't have any discipline problems because you'll either want to be there, okay, or not, okay? And but it's the language. It's the, you know, people say, well, you know, the educated black folks say, you know, there's more than 100 languages. Well, yeah, there's a lot of languages in China, too. That doesn't stop people from learning at least one language.
Yeah. So, well, look, we got a couple other callers, so I'm going to get ready to go. But give us the website once again that we need to go to.
Yes. Okay. That's positivelearningsuccess.com.
Thank you very much. PositiveLearningSuccess.com. Actually, I'm going to that right now. All right, next call. You're on the air. What's your name? Where you calling from?
This is T. Berry or T. Bird from Upper Marlboro, Maryland. How you doing?
What's happening, T. Bird?
Not a whole lot. I have to say that I find yours one of the few programs on the radio that really addresses issues. I can't believe it, but they still do not use the word genocide in most major newscasts that I've heard on in the United States, and no TV stations. They talk about whether or not it will or is occurring, which is really stupid, if you ask me, because when you starve a whole population, no food, no water, you can't travel, you can't leave the areas, you're being bombed with 2,000 and 4,000-pound bombs that will kill you 3 football fields away, whatever. It is a genocide, and it just is not it just is incredulous to me that they don't call it that. But we're not the only ones. You know, just like Barack Obama would only shake his fingers at us, we need to shake our fingers at everybody, including white and including Asiatic leaders who aren't doing anything, because there is a genocide going on. And when I hear people, black people, that is, they'll say, "You didn't vote for Kamala? Trump supporter or something like that?" I am a supporter of someone who is in favor of black issues, for reparations, for a minimum wage is a black issue, if you ask me.
T-Bird, a criminal code
that does not hurt black men more than white men. So that if you have just a little crack cigarette, a little bit of crack, you'll get as much as someone with over a pound of white cocaine powder. I want someone who believes that they can send their kids into black school areas just like black kids can be sent into white school areas, because they're going to make sure that the education is up to snuff in both ones of us.
T-Bird, how about this? I got to throw something at you real quick. Yeah, you get your comment on this. The Israeli government came out, the guy Herzog, I think, is the one who said it. So all the time during the recent election, Kamala Harris, AOC, all of them said the Democrats are working tirelessly. Joe Biden and Kamala Harris are working tirelessly for a ceasefire. They're working tirelessly to stop it. The Israeli government came out now and said, no, they never asked us one time for a ceasefire. They were lying the whole time. The Israeli government has came out, which like we didn't know it, and basically said, no, they never bothered with us. They never asked us for a ceasefire. They never told us. So the whole time, AOC and all of the people and Bernie Sanders and Kamala Harris were working tirelessly for a ceasefire. The Israelis just came out and said, no, they never asked us a single time. We didn't have that to worry about. They were the best thing that ever happened to us. So the bottom line is, they just lied. When we was all saying, man, there's a genocide going on, this is just wrong, and they said, oh yeah, we're working tirelessly for a ceasefire. By doing nothing, they simply lied, and wonder why they lost to Trump. Go ahead, T-Bird.
Yeah, not only that.
They blamed us, I might add. They blamed us because they lost to Trump.
Which is really crazy. I mean, Trump put the lie to that. He came in there, sent somebody over, and had a ceasefire in one day. Even though he just did it so during his coronation period, he didn't want to. He could have something to say he could do, and he maybe wanted to show just how much Biden was lying. But Biden lied, and so did Kamala. Oh, this is a nation with $4.3 billion per year of U.S. weapons support that is defending itself against people who kept in prison. And who had no trials, whose kids were taken up for throwing rocks, whose land was being stolen. For the last 70 years, they've been starved. They just intensified it now because they don't even hide it. Remember the first hospital that was bombed? They said it was probably done by them by accident itself.
Yes.
Now 36 hospitals later, they're admitting that they just want these people out of there. And these are the kinds of leaders we have. You know what? I think the United States is going down, and it's going down fast, much faster than people here realize. And when they don't have the dollar in use all across the world anymore, our country is done. That's all I'm saying. You have a good one. You. Thank you.
Thank you very much. I'm with you. It's a sad state of affairs when we go, people are literally arguing over which genocidal party. You're mad at me. You didn't support them. They committed genocide. Well, did you support Trump? He committed genocide. No, I don't support murderous genocidal parties. I'm not. Look, what next? If you continue to do this, you know where you get to? This is where you get to. Well, the Democrats have 10 the Republicans got 10 concentration camps to put us in. Well, the Democrats only got 9. They got one less concentration camp. This is where you get with that lesser of two evils crap. Oh, I'm going to vote for the lesser of two evils. We're getting the evil of two lessers. And eventually you get to the point where the lesser of two evils, both evils are committing a genocide. That's what happened to us. And we're still, you think I'm supporting it? You go right ahead. Next call, you're on the air. What's your name? Where are you calling from? Next caller, you're on the air. What's your name? Where are you calling from? Oh, I guess the caller's not there. All right. Well, we got enough room for one more. You know, I'll end up, is that our caller? I guess not. Okay. You know, I will end up saying one other thing, you know, and that is that what we're looking at now, you know, before the last couple minutes, I'll take a couple more minutes to say this. There's a lot of discussion about the negotiations. We're negotiating with everybody, right? We're negotiating with the Iranians over whether or not they are going to have nuclear weapons. Might I add, let me throw this at you. About a month and a half ago, the United States Intelligence Services put out their annual assessment. And the U.S. Intel, you can just, don't have to believe me, go search on science, look it for yourself. Look at, you can get the entire assessment. I read it, a lot of crap in it. But one of the things that it says is this. It says that they assess that the Iranians are not trying to build a nuclear weapon. They're not trying to weaponize their nuclear program. Now think about this. Our government is talking about attacking Iran to stop them from getting a nuclear weapon. Our own intelligence assessment says they're not trying to get a nuclear weapon. Well, you could make an argument that, hey, what right do we have to say that? But that notwithstanding the right to make that argument, how in the world are we? You know what it's like? Hey, Garland, you better, you know what it's like? It's like when the police pull a brother over. That looks like a gun. What? I don't have a gun. Yeah, it looks like shining. Pow, they shoot him. The brother never had a gun. And then they say, well, he moved in a furtive movement. He reached for his waistband. Everything, every other reason to shoot the brother. But the brother didn't have a gun, didn't own a gun. You just shot him. And you're going to make excuses that he reached for his waistband. Why would he reach for his waistband? It wasn't nothing in it. He didn't have a gun, right? Now, we're like, yes, we may have to attack Iran to stop them from getting a nuclear weapon, even though our own intelligence agencies have written a report that said, man, looks like they're not trying to get a nuclear weapon. Here's my question. I've got to go back to this. Where are the people in Congress? Shouldn't somebody in Congress, when all this is talk, shouldn't somebody in the back, let's say Congressman Nixon from Maryland, I see you have a question. Your hand's up in the air. Yes, Congressman Nixon, please come forward. What do you have to say? Representative Nixon, are we supposed to be negotiating with Iran over nuclear weapons, right? Yes, sir, Congressman Nixon. I got in my hand an intelligence assessment report where our own intelligence agency says they're not trying to get a nuclear weapon. Perhaps somebody on the negotiating team should go talk to the head of the CIA because they just said they're not doing it. I mean, don't talk to the Iranians, talk to the head of the CIA who said they're not trying to get one. But no, that would make too much sense. There's nobody, you're gonna tell me I'm smarter than every other person in Congress, that I'm wiser, that I know more than they do? No, it's just that I stand for something other than filling my filthy pockets, other than riding around in a limo, other than living the good life. And they all know that the one that sticks their hand up and says, oh, excuse me, how come we're going against the policy that our own intelligence says, the one that says that, ain't gonna be there no more. All right. I want to thank everybody for calling in. I want to thank my main man, Kalia, for doing a fantastic job as always. By the by, you can find me. I got a YouTube show. Watch my YouTube show. I do all kinds of stuff on there. I have a blast. You can email me. My email address is my first name, Garland, And then the first letter of my last name, N, as in Nixon, garlandn at gmail.com. You can also find me on Facebook. You can find me on Telegram. Thank you very much. We got some great music coming up next, so please don't change that dial. But before we do this, one of my favorite, you know, I'm heavy in house music, Ukathula. Ukathula is it's African, made by Busi Malongo. It's the sculptured remix. Don't look for it. You ain't going to find it. It was like in a special album back in 2011. But this is a fantastic song. You know, I love my house music. I'm out.